If you remember a few months ago, or middle of January, we had a Dream and Discern Day together where we sat down together as a congregation, and we sat around tables in small groups, and we just dreamed and discerned together of ways that we could minister Jesus to each other in our community, around the world. And as part of the message this morning, I'd like to just to kind of bring you up to speed on what you all shared that day. So we've been talking about relating in love over the last couple months, and Ben's been tackling some marriage kinds of things, kind of, relationally. This morning I just felt like I wanted to just kind of carry on with this theme of connecting, of discipleship, of meeting needs, and I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you have them, to Luke 10. I will have some slides here with some scriptures on. I'd like to do just a short exploration of a really familiar story that Jesus told. We often call them parables. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And if you would Google, just do a general Google of Good Samaritan, you would find all kinds of news headlines that talk about the Good Samaritan, you know, rescued the child, or the Good Samaritan saved the cat, or the Good Samaritan. Like, the world knows about what the Good Samaritan is. But I'm thinking probably there's some things that maybe the world in general doesn't know about the Good Samaritan. Maybe we don't. So I'm going to look at that story a little bit today, see what we can learn about connecting and community and growing and bearing fruit and relating in love. And I will just say right up front, this is not going to be a comprehensive look at this story, this parable. There's a lot of truths, a lot of lessons that we could learn from this parable that I'm not even going to begin to touch on today. So in this, the first section of the parable begins in Luke 10, 25. So like I said, I'm going to ask you to help me, and I'm going to narrate the first part beginning in Luke 10, verse 25. And I'd like you to play the part of the expert in the law, the scholar, the well-educated, smart guy who knows the scriptures well, because I think that actually fits a lot of you. You're smart people, you know the scripture, and I think you guys should play this part. So if you're able, stand. If it's not comfortable, don't, because it actually says that the guy stood up. So if you're able, go ahead and stand. If not, that's fine. And I'll put your response up on the screen, and we'll just do that. Okay, so starting in verse 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law, you guys, stood up to test Jesus. And he said, let's try that again. And Jesus said, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Jesus replied, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But the expert in the law, the smart guy, you guys, wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you. The smart guy knew the scripture. He knew the law, and he lived by it. Actually, seems like a pretty good way to live. I'm going to try not to do that too many times on your ear. Yet his knowledge of the law and the need to love God with all of his being, the need to love God or to love our neighbor as ourselves, brings out this thing in him, it brings out this thing in us, the need to justify. I imagine when Jesus agreed with the smart guy's assessment of the law, that he should just do it and live, the expert in the law immediately thought of someone that he could have done more for. Or he immediately thought of someone in that crowd of people that he hadn't treated very well. Or he thought of someone who knew that his motives probably weren't very good. In fact, he himself probably knew at times that his motives weren't always what they should be. And so he had to justify himself. That means he had to be righteous himself. He had to be innocent himself. And you know what? That's a heavy burden to carry. In fact, it's an impossible burden to carry. And so he tries to find some wiggle room by asking, you'll get there. Have you ever stopped to listen to some of your conversations? I would challenge you sometime, just pick a day, especially when you're around other people, to pay attention to the words that you say and listen for all the ways that we try to justify something we do or don't do. It can actually be pathetic to listen to. And our justifying often reveals motive. So before we even read the story, I'm going to take us back to the end of the story. And I know some of you are like that. When you're reading a book, you go back. People like that drive me crazy. But you go back and read the last chapter, and then you go back and read the book. So I'm gonna try and lend to people like that this morning, and we're going to go to the end of the story before we even look at the story. Here at the end of the story, Jesus asks, see, it doesn't make any sense to go to the end of the story before you read the story, but we're going to do it. Jesus asks, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? What's Jesus' question here? Who do you think was a neighbor? See, Jesus went and changes the question. Instead of who is my neighbor, he asked, am I a neighbor? You get the difference? To justify, we ask, who is my neighbor? Jesus asks, am I a neighbor? Let's go to the story now, now that you know the ending. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. He's naked. I was actually thinking about trying to play a video of this. I couldn't find anywhere where the guy was actually naked. He always had a little bit of clothes on. So it's like that doesn't even match what the scripture says. The guy was stripped of his clothes. He was completely naked, exposed. And they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, and he poured pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. But just overnight, because the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Like I said, I am not even going to begin to touch everything in this story. But there's one thing I want to point out. The priest and the Levite, they saw, but they passed by. They went on. The Samaritan, as he traveled, he came too. He came to the man. He saw him and he came to the man. The other ones saw him but went on. You can listen to 100 different messages about this and get 100 different interpretations. I just want to point out one little thing that kind of grabs me. You know, we get pretty hard on the priest and the Levite, right? But something had already happened. There was no undoing what had already happened. And if the priest and the Levite kind of represent law and religion, the law had no power to undo what had already happened. They had no choice but to just pass by. See, it was going to require love and action for there to be a remedy to this man's issue. The law does not provide that. There's no mercy in the law. The law says, do this, this happens. So there's got to be love in action to remedy something once it's already happened. Does that make sense? And that's not even the point of my message. I'm just kind of throwing that out there for you to think about. The law couldn't fix anything. There needed to be love. Somebody responding in action. So we get to the end of the passage, and we get to our question. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied. The expert in the law replied. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. That's about all we're going to talk about in the story. Almost. The good news here is simply, as I see it, that Jesus came to us in love when we were helpless, when we were vulnerable, when we were stripped bare, when we were exposed, beaten and broken, we couldn't walk, we're left for dead in our sin. Jesus came to us and he picked us up and he carried us and he paid the price for our healing. What the law was helpless to do just passed us by. Jesus did for us by identifying with us, paying our debt on the cross. It's love in action. But there's another part of this story that we haven't talked about yet. In fact, I don't know if I've ever really heard anybody talk about it. I'm going to use my imagination a little bit. But there's another person in this story. That's the innkeeper. The Good Samaritan brought the beaten man to the innkeeper. The Good Samaritan had paid the price for the man's healing. And then he asked the innkeeper to take care of the man. And he gave him two silver coins. And two silver coins were enough for actually months of care. This was not going to be some short-term fix. In fact, the Good Samaritan indicated that by saying, you know what, I'm going to come back again sometime, and then I'll even pay for more if there was other expenses incurred. This wasn't going to be anything to do with being a quick fix for a half-dead, almost dead man. So remember, the innkeeper was not a doctor. What's an innkeeper? I'm going to go back to Jeremy Miller a couple weeks ago. An innkeeper is a provider of hospitality for strangers. Think about everything this guy would have experienced in caring for this man who was completely exposed. Completely exposed. He couldn't walk. He was beaten down. He was bruised and bloody. He probably couldn't feed himself. He possibly couldn't even remember his own name. And for sure was a stranger to the innkeeper. Now imagine with me this innkeeper trying to feed this man. You know what? Some of you know what that's like when you're trying to feed somebody that they can't even hardly open their mouth, and you get stuff all over the place. He had bandages to change. This was the day. Remember, he couldn't walk. Says he put him on his donkey. This was before latex gloves and catheters. He had to change soiled sheets. It was messy. It was intimate. It was vulnerable. It was a stranger. He didn't even know the guy. Yet the price had already been paid. You know, the beautiful truth, the joy about keeping in, is that it's the innkeeper who saw the broken man sit up for the first time. It was the innkeeper who heard the guy speak again for the first time. It was the innkeeper that saw the guy sit up on the side of the bed and start taking little steps again for the first time. It was the innkeeper who saw him regain strength and dignity. And it was the innkeeper that eventually saw the guy get his strength, walk out the door, probably walk back down the same road, and start watching for other people who maybe needed help just as he had. See, remember, the question is not who is my neighbor, but am I a neighbor? One of my observations over the years is it seems that many people enjoy celebrating this wonderful conclusion of a great testimony. But another one of my observations has been is very few people seem to actually like to walk in the middle part, in the healing part, in the waiting part, in the messy part. I had to think, again, back to Jeremy's message a couple weeks ago. It's like this great story can't even think of her name now, Butterfield, right? Yeah. Rosetta Butterfield. Great story. We love to celebrate that. But who wants to be in the other part of it? In the innkeeping part, in the messy part, in the patient part, in the waiting part, in the dirty part. In this little story Jesus told, we actually see this community-minded model from Jesus. Jesus saw, he came to, he noticed the need, he came, he cared, and then he invited others into the process, into the healing process. He invited the innkeeper. I like to think as the innkeeper being the church. Jesus paid the price, and then he invites the church to get involved in the process. Right? It's what we do, right? Get in the messy part. Get in the healing part. Get in the waiting part. Church, as we continue to build community through connecting community groups, whatever you call them, where there starts to be intimacy and vulnerability, being more involved with each other in our community, let's just remember that Jesus paid the price and we are simply to be neighbors, to faithfully, lovingly live life alongside of each other together. There's something fascinating begins to happen when we do that. As we love God, and we love our neighbor as ourself, we will begin living the kingdom of God. We will enter into living eternal life, and it'll actually be right here on earth. But as I look around the room, some of us are right in the middle of innkeeping. We're right in the middle of innkeeping with someone. You know the price has been paid by Jesus for the healing and for the new life, and yet Jesus has placed someone in your life to love and to do life with and to neighbor, and it's hard and it's messy and it's tiring and it's painful. And some days you see progress and some days you don't, and some days it feels like regress. I just like to say that we'd like to pray for you this morning if that's where you're at. If you're keeping in with someone and it's just getting hard while you're waiting, while they're starting to get their strength, it's getting hard. If you just like somebody to pray for you and you're tired, doesn't seem like there's any hope, you know your situation, just come on up front. We'll pray for you, and maybe if you see somebody come up that you'd love to pray for, just come up and put an arm around them and pray for them. Jesus paid the price, but church, let's be innkeepers. Let's be willing to be intimate, vulnerable, get messy, be patient. Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah.